Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm Thomas. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you're well. Remember, the more you tune in, the more effective this podcast will be at putting you to sleep. So wherever you get your podcasts, be sure to follow or subscribe and make Get Sleepy a part of your nightly routine. Tonight's episode is supported by our friends at BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? If so, BetterHelp is there for you, and they will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. There's a broad range of expertise on offer, which may not be locally available in many areas, and the service is available for clients worldwide. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Check out their website and read their testimonials. Visit betterhelp.com/getsleepy. That's better, H-E-L-P. And join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 US states. Right now, you, our wonderful Get Sleepy listeners, will receive 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/getsleepy. Thanks again to BetterHelp for their support. As I've mentioned in the past, the thing that led me to starting this podcast was my own lifelong difficulties with sleep. And by no means am I clear of those troubles. But from my experiences, I know how much it can mean to have somebody tell you that you're not the only one, and that there's others struggling in the same way out there too. And of course, that's not to say that all of you who listen to this podcast necessarily do suffer with sleep problems. I know a lot of you just enjoy listening for comfort or just to have a bit of background noise whilst you fall asleep at night. And however you enjoy this podcast, thank you so much for being here. I can't tell you enough what it means to me and our small team behind this podcast to have your company tonight and whenever you choose to listen. And of course, we've recently launched Get Sleepy Premium, which is our supporters feed that is completely ad-free and gives you access to our entire back catalogue. And you'll receive a new exclusive episode each and every Thursday. Tomorrow on Get Sleepy Premium, we have a really sweet story about a young boy named Joao. He lives in Rio de Janeiro and is both fascinated and inspired by the colourful birds that fly through his neighbourhood. If you're interested in signing up, it will go such a long way to making sure that we can keep doing this, bringing you stories and relaxations to help you get a great night's rest. So to find out more, go to our website at getsleepy.com/support or simply use the link in the show notes. Now tonight's story will be narrated by the soothing voice of Abby. In this story, Melody enjoys an afternoon off from work and wanders deep into the Alaskan forest in search of her favourite berries. So let's get relaxed and ready to listen. Imagine a small light emanating from your core. Focus on that light and feel the way it grounds you. You are safe. You are comfortable. You are here, right now. Watch as the light begins to spread. As the light moves, your body relaxes. It sends out little beams into your arms and to the tips of your fingers. More beams of light move into your legs, past your knees, to your ankles and feet. Now, use that light to guide you away from here. Move out of your body and out of your room, away from your street and neighborhood. Follow the light over the deep blue oceans to a place where the waters darken to a stormy gray. Here, the sea is dotted with dozens of small, forested islands. On one such island, there is a town and a road. If you follow that road out of town for several miles, there is a little turnout with a sign. The sign demarks a national park. Follow that sign to a quaint visitor center nestled in the trees. In this building, a young woman sits behind a desk, and this is where our story begins.
Melody stood and stretched her arms over her head. She'd been sitting behind the visitor center desk for a few hours, but her shift was coming to an end. Melody was a natural history interpreter, meaning it was her job to share information with visitors about this national park. It was one of the most popular places to visit in the larger Tongass National Forest. Sometimes, she led interpretive walks along the wooded trails. Other times, she took groups of kids on nature hikes to learn how to identify local plants and wildlife. But since it was the start of a long weekend, she only had to work a half day. She'd have the next 2 days all to herself. Now it was time to pack up her bag, put on her green jacket, and close up the small building until the start of next week. Melody zipped up her jacket, flipped off the light switch, and turned the small brass key in the lock on the visitor center door. She stopped on the front porch of the building to take in the beautiful surroundings. They never ceased to amaze her. The centre was nestled in a pocket of forest, a few hundred feet off of the main road through town. Dense trees muffled the sounds of the few cars and trucks that occasionally drove past, though they seldom came this far out the road. That's what people here called the drive from town. They said they were going out the road. It led a mysterious quality to the journey, Melody thought. She wasn't from here originally, so she had to get used to some of the expressions that developed organically over time in this small town. As people came and went, they brought with them little phrases from their hometowns. They left them behind here to shift and morph into something new and special as the years went by. Now you could figure out who was local and who was just passing through by the way they ended their sentences or how they talked about the changes in the weather. The little town itself was on one edge of a large island, surrounded by deep green forest on all sides. It looked out over the cobalt waters of the Pacific Ocean, and often found itself shrouded in clouds that brought an ever-present drizzle. The island was part of the Alexander Archipelago, which makes up the southeastern portion of Alaska. It's the group of islands that stretches down from the mainland part of the state, along the coast of British Columbia, toward Washington. Shades of green, grey and blue made up the colour palette of this place. Melody learned new ways to describe them all. The forest had jade and pine, the sky had ash and stone, and the sea sparkled both anchor grey and viridian green, with a hint of admiral blue on a rare sunny day. Now the sky was the colour of slate. Clouds hung low over the tops of the trees. It was approaching midday, but the sun was well hidden. The only indication of its presence in the sky above was the subtle light that filtered through the clouds. Melody could feel a gentle mist tickle her cheeks and saw tiny droplets condense on the curls of her hair. She took a deep breath in. The damp air brought with it the aroma of fallen leaves and moss. She let the earthy scent play upon her senses before exhaling. But it lingered in her mind long after the breath itself was released. She took a final deep breath and started to walk down the long ramp that led down from the porch. The ramp was made of wooden boards and covered in a thick, dark green paint, which was starting to peel along the edges. The near constant drizzle took its toll on most of the buildings around town, and the visitor centre was no exception. Beneath the paint, she could see the plain wood. It had weathered over time and was now a subtle, speckled grey instead of the reddish-brown it once had been. Some of the wood along the railing had been replaced this season. She'd helped attach it to the rest of the structure. It produced the comforting scent of new wood that permeates the back aisles of home improvement stores. A few days ago, she'd found a can of the same dark green paint hidden in a supply closet in the visitor centre. Using the flat end of a screwdriver, she pried open the lid to reveal just the right amount remained. She used a wide paintbrush to coat the new railing. It was a relaxing job. She loved leading tours and talking to cheerful visitors, but there was something rewarding about the act of building, she thought. She found contentment in using her hands to make something new. It was meditative to be out there, under the trees, carefully applying the first coat of thick paint, moving the brush back and forth with slow, deliberate motions. Maybe she should ask about repainting the rest of it, but that was a task for another time. She walked to the end of the ramp, stepped off the final board, and placed her foot on the soft ground of the forest. Leading out from the visitor center was a well-worn path into the woods. It was the start of a popular loop trail that took explorers around some of the most beautiful and diverse sites in the park. To get there, you'd leave the building and walk a few hundred feet into the forest. Then, you would curve around to the right, toward the first informational board. It told visitors that Tongass Park had the honour of being the largest national forest in the United States. Its 16.7 million acres were home to hundreds of species of flora and fauna. But this wasn't where Melody was going today. Instead, she followed a smaller offshoot into the woods. It looked more like an animal trail than a proper path. It was narrow and rugged, overgrown on both sides with ferns and tall, wide-leafed plants. It wound through the woods to the little cozy cabin Melody called home. Most of the people who worked at the park lived in town, but Melody was tasked with making sure everything was well after hours. On the weekends, she walked the trails that crisscrossed the park. She knew them like the back of her hand. It was the best part of her job. She made sure the informational boards were wiped clean of rain and leaves, and was always happy to answer a question should she come across a visitor making their way through her woods. Her little cabin was tucked away in a stand of tall spruce trees. It always smelled like damp soil here, which was one of her favourite parts of living in the woods. Her cabin had a small piece of artwork on the door, a little orange sun made of tin. It was a cheerful pop of colour on the otherwise brown and green background. The little metal sun made a tinkling sound as she opened the door. Her cabin was a single room with a half wall dividing the kitchen and living area from where she slept. She had a bright blue curtain with silver stripes hanging from the ceiling to complete the wall. It made the place feel a little bigger. You couldn't quite see the whole thing from any corner, giving the illusion of infinite space just beyond the reaches of her sight. She leaned her backpack against her bed and took off her hiking boots. She slipped on a pair of knee-high brown rubber boots over her jeans. By the kitchen sink, she had a large white bucket. She carefully took out the handful of flowers she'd collected the day before and arranged them in a tall glass vase, which she placed in the center of her kitchen table. She slung the handle of the bucket over her forearm and headed back out the door. Earlier this week, Melody had noticed the first bright red clusters appear on the huckleberry bushes around her cabin. She made a mental note to seek out the best bushes this weekend, which meant now was the time. They were often the ones hidden deep within the forest, well off the beaten path, in secret places that were the hardest to get to. And so, with that in mind, Melody walked around the back of her cabin and straight into the forest. There was no trail here. The ground was a jumble of deep, spongy moss and decomposing tree trunks that had fallen generations ago. She hopped over one particularly large stump and bent her head down to avoid the low-hanging branch of a Sitka spruce. She climbed across a long trunk which was covered in a blanket of bright green fuzz and small pearly mushrooms. After several minutes, Melody came to a boulder hidden behind a dense cluster of trees. She squeezed between the branches and around the large rock. As she turned the corner, a bright splash of red stood out against the foliage. There were dozens of light green bushes. Their delicate stems hung heavy with thousands of plump huckleberries. It was almost too perfect, as though a painter had created the scene and dotted the crimson berries with a fine-tipped brush. She ran her hand along the underside of a particularly full branch, causing the little berries to roll off into her palm. She set down her bucket and, with her free hand, picked a single berry from her other palm. She placed it on the tip of her tongue and gently crushed it against the roof of her mouth. Her taste buds exploded with the sweet, tart flavour of the berry. It was a brighter taste than raspberries, lighter than cherries, and without the pulpiness of a ripe blueberry. She poured the rest of the berries from her palm into her mouth. They popped with juice as she chewed. Melody found it to be a rather delightful sensation. She reached out and began to pluck more berries from the branches. Some fell away easily into the bucket. Others she had to twist slightly at the stem to get them to come loose. She picked and picked, enjoying the satisfaction of the plunking sound as each berry landed on the bottom. After some time, she realized the plunking sound had turned to a gentle tumbling as berries landed on other berries. She looked down and noticed her bucket was now half full. As she paused, she felt the rhythm of the forest surrounding her. Birds sent hollow calls that echoed between the ancient trees. A deer in the distance walked delicately over fallen branches. The slightest crunching of leaves gave away its presence. Another small animal scurried in the underbrush near the boulder. A light misting of rain began to fall. She pulled the hood of her jacket up and over her head and wiggled her toes, feeling grateful for the boots that kept her feet warm and dry. All around her, raindrops dripped down broad leaves. At first, she counted the loudest ones, but soon gave in to the rhythmic cacophony of a thousand tiny droplets falling just out of sync with one another. They reminded her of the huckleberries plopping into the bucket. She picked a handful more and poured them into it. They fell, the rain fell. There was harmony in that, she thought. She continued picking bush by bush around the boulder. The broad leaf of a large fern brushed against her face, leaving a trail of cool rainwater along her cheek. she gently wiped it away and moved on to the next plant. As she picked, she travelled deeper and deeper into the forest. The ripest berries led her on a wild path of their own to the far reaches of the trees, where only the most adventurous of creatures were willing to go. As Melody navigated the uneven terrain, the sound of the rain reverberated in her ears. She realized it was getting late, just as her bucket was nearing full capacity. The sky, still overcast, had lost the sun's glow behind the clouds. Good timing, she thought. After hours of picking, the berries were piled to the top. This would be plenty to make several jars of jam or jelly. Or should she make a few pies instead, she wondered. She pulled a final handful from the bush in front of her before turning to walk back to her cabin. With the full bucket swinging at her side, Melody stepped carefully over roots and trunks and trod across the spongy moss that bounced a little with every footfall. She followed the path of picked plants, retracing her work as it led her to the edge of the trees. There, just ahead, was her cozy little cabin. The frame looked even smaller now next to the enormous trees, whose lengthening shadows made them seem taller. Melody walked around to the front door and turned the knob. The cheerful sun clinked a welcome as the door creaked open. She slid off her rubber boots and left them to dry by the door. Walking over to her kitchen table, she lit the small nub of a candle that sat within a short brass holder. A handle on the side allowed her to carry it around the perimeter of the room and light the other candles dotting the space. The final candle to light was the one in the front window. It reflected off the glass, waving and dancing against the backdrop of the dark trees outside. Melody carried the bucket of huckleberries to the kitchen and set it down beside the sink. Tomorrow she'd sort the berries, remove any leftover stems, and figure out precisely what she would make with them. But for now, it was getting late. With the light gone outside, she no longer had enough to work by, and she was beginning to feel sleepy anyway. It was time to get ready for bed. Melody unzipped her green jacket and hung it on a hook on the back of her door. She unfolded the pajamas she'd left on her pillow and put them on. The flannel was soft to the touch. She ran her hands up and down the fuzzy material and smiled. She pulled back the sheets and her large crocheted blanket and crawled into bed. She snuggled down beneath the covers and let her head come to rest on her fluffy pillow. Her eyelids grew heavy. She thought back on her day picking huckleberries. She was grateful for the bounty she'd brought home and smiled at the memory of the rain running down her cheeks. How lucky she was to live in a place filled with natural beauty. She took one final glance out of the window. The single candle flickered in front of the glass. Her vision blurred, creating a halo of gold around its flame. It danced quietly and rhythmically, encouraging Melody into a deep and comforting sleep.